My name is Gerrit. I see you can see it on the screen. And I'm from Paul, the Paul congregation. And I'm trusting God that he will just do what he wants to do this morning. So I'm speaking to you on obedience, the secret of a life being used by God. Anybody here that wants to be used by God? Can I just see your hands? Okay. Fantastic. So I'm speaking to the right crowd this morning. So I just want to read to you a pocket scripture. It's about the life of Elijah. It says, "And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." So God used this man with the name of Elijah, and as we just read now, you know what? Elijah appeared from nowhere. The Bible don't tell us whom his mom was. The Bible don't tell us, you know, who his dad was. We know nothing about Elijah. You know, when you read the life of Moses, you will find out he was born, you know, he was a little baby, you know what, and they put him in the river, you know, to protect him. But Elijah just suddenly appears on the scene. And when he appears on the scene, he spoke to King Ahab, or to King Ahab. You know what? He's coming from nowhere, and he gives this prophecy to the king. And then we start to read about who this Elijah was. Elijah was one, he wasn't one, he was the most famous prophet in the Old Testament. And I suppose that we all know his story. If you want to be used by God, one of the first things that you and I need to know: no process, no progress. There can't be any progress in our lives if we don't allow God to put our lives through a process. Are you still here? You know what God, every person in the Bible that God uses, he puts his life through a process. God put Joseph's life through a process. Who of you would love to be like Joseph? Let me see, anyone here? Going through everything that Joseph went through, all the misunderstandings. And you know, and sometimes we just think, oh man, I just needed to say this thing a little bit better, you know, then the people would understand. But you know what? God works in our lives with a process. No process, no progress. The other thing that you and I need to understand is that if there's no roots in our lives, there will be no fruits. Because the process grow roots in your life. And we need roots in our lives. You know what? If there's no roots, there will be no fruits. And just the last one I want to throw in randomly is: no tears, no harvest. The Bible says, "He who sow with tears will reap with joy." No tears, no joy. So God is working in our lives with a process. And as I talk to you this morning, I just want to lift this thing of the process out this morning, because God wants to use this church. Okay, two of you believe it. I say, God want to use this church. God want to use this movement. You know what? The vision of this church, I don't see it. I think it's at the entrance. It says the vision of this church is to reach nations and generations. And how we're going to do it is by making disciples, by developing leaders, and by planting churches. Guys, this is your church. You must know the vision. You must know it from heart. It must burn in your heart because God wants to use this church. And if God wants to use the church, we must know where God is going with this church. And the vision tells us where God is going with this church. And the values that is so important to this church. Who of you can help me? The first one, a passion for Jesus. Love Jesus. Love Him with everything that we have. The second one is people to serve. People is so important to God. I remember back long ago in Bible school, we looked at the guy, a video class, Bob Nichols. I don't know if you know him. And he said, as love is the gospel, so people are the ministry. People are important to God. We sang this morning that song about the cross. You know what? Why Jesus died on the cross? So that people may be saved. People is so important to God. A passion for Jesus. People to serve. Power of belief. Hey guys, without faith, we're not going to get anywhere. And the last one, who can help me with the last one? A purpose to pursue. God's got a purpose for your life. Turn to the person next to you and tell him, God's got a purpose for your life. A purpose to pursue. God's got a purpose for your life. God's got the destiny for your life. God is working in your life. You know what? When you open the Bible, when you open Genesis 1, when you open it at the last book, Revelation, I think it's chapter 22. You know what? This book tells you about one thing. This book is a story about God. God is on the move. God is working. God is using people to work with Him. Remember, we don't work for God. We are His co-workers. God is working. God is going. And we need to slot in and move with Him. And this story is about God. It starts, it says, in the beginning, God. I don't know who was first, the beginning or God, or God or the beginning. You know? I don't know how we start the book about God. But that's what the Holy Spirit gave us. In the beginning, God. And what did He do? He created. And He's still creating. Okay. So this is about God. What God wants to do. And you know what? God loves to use people. You know what? He took a Moses, you know, and Moses grew up. Where? In the palace of the king of Egypt. He took a teenager with the name of Daniel. And you know what? Where Daniel grew up? No, he didn't grow up there, but He put him in a palace. And God loves to put people in strategic places so that He can use them. You still want to be used by God? Okay, it usually works out a little bit different than what you thought it would be. Amen? Okay. So God is on the move. You know what? He took Esther and He put her also in a palace to make a change, to use her. When Mordecai, her uncle, when he went to her and said, it's now the time to speak, because if you don't speak, don't think, death won't come to you. Are you still with me? God also put Joseph in a palace. So God puts us in strategic places because He wants to use us. Okay. And we must allow God to work in our lives. Because the moment God starts to move, usually He is doing that which is supernatural. He's doing the impossible. God loves to do things that are God size, not man size. Okay. He tell Noah, Noah built the ark, you know, never, no one ever saw a boat. because I didn't need it in that time. He said, build an ark, Noah. I'm on the move. And he built that ark for how long? Over 100 years. The story of his life. The Bible said, while he was building this ark, it was as good as he was preaching, you know, righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible tells us. And so many times we're doing things and we don't know what the spiritual impact of it is. So we need to move with God. God loves to bring life where there is death. He took Ezekiel, he put him in the valley of the dry bones. Ezekiel 37, you still with me? You know what? And Ezekiel was, you know, he was looking at these bones and he was walking this way around these bones and he was checking out these bones. And his conclusion was, they were very dry. It's not so bien any manier. You can't even use it to make soup. You know what? And then the voice of God speaks to him. He says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? That's God. He will challenge you with that which seems impossible. Can they live? And you know the chapter. These dry bones became a mighty army. And God is preparing us to be the army that He wants us to be. So let's look at the life of Elijah, because God was taking a man and he was putting a process into this man. He was taking him through a process so that he could go and challenge the prophets of Baal. You still remember that story? You still remember that incident where God used him and Elijah prayed and the fire fell from heaven? But there was a preparation. Say with me, no process, no progress. Okay, so you can pray, God, start the process in my life. So Elijah spoke to Ahab. And the first thing that he said to Ahab, he said, as the Lord God of Israel lives. God is more than an idea. God is more than a philosophy. God is a living being. He is alive. And you know what? If you want God to use you, this is the one conviction that needs to be in our hearts, that God is a living being, that God is alive. The God that you and I serve, you know what? You don't just find Him in the pages of this book. He's all over the scene. Everything that you and I can touch, everything that you and I can see, everything that you and I can hear, guess what? Where it came from? It started somewhere. It was this God in Genesis 1 that created everything. He created the heavens and the earth. He is a God that is alive. And you know what? We experience this God, or we know this God by experience. Abram was, some of the commentary said, he was like an idol worshiper. And one day, he heard a voice speaking to him. God will always take you through a process. So he heard this voice and he started to communicate it with this voice. And by experience, he started to know God. And then one day God said to him, Abraham, it's time for you to go out of your father's house. It's time for you to leave your country, your beloved country. You know, leave it alone, leave it at your back. Who say me is it? Los het achter. Okay, leave it behind you. And I want you to go to a country that I will show you. And Abraham trusted God. He moved with God. You know what? Elijah, because Elijah, he just arrived on the scene. Suddenly he was there, 1 Kings 17. And the first thing that you and I hear about Elijah is that he spoke to the king. He gave a message to the king, which was not a very friendly message. Have you noticed that? So God has already prepared Elijah. God has already worked in Elijah's life. God has already put a process on the go in Elijah's life so that he could say to the king what he needed to say. You don't teach your child to ride a bike on the cliff of age. Are you still with me? Where do you do it? In a safe environment. And when you see in this safe environment, you know what? In the borders of your yard, to put it like that. When you see he's safe here, then you can take him to the street. Or you can take him to a park and see how good he is. And when you see, you know, his ability, then you say, okay, it's okay. You can now ride with your bike to school, which I don't think happened anymore. But you're still with me. Okay, because the father will check, you know, how's this child developing? How's he maturing? You know, on what level is he so that I can use him? So that's why the process is so necessary. Because we've got the father that loves us so very dearly. So God will test you and me in the safety of a home cell. He will test us in a place where we are safe, where our fellow brothers, fellow sisters can tell us, I think you missed that one a little bit. Because when you need to speak to Ahab, you need to be accurate. You need to know that you know that you know that God is speaking this word. Have I told you that God is raising up an army? God is raising up people that he can use. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say with me, faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're talking about that God is a living God. And he says, and those who go to him, they must believe. There is it again. Believe. That he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I like it. God says he is a rewarder. God is the rewarder. When you diligently seek him, he will reward you. He will reward you. And I believe Elijah was one of those people who diligently seek God. And he experienced God in a wonderful way. There's so much more of God than what you and I have already experienced of him. Just put your elbow in your neighbor's side, not that hard, and just tell him, there's more of God. There's so much more of God. There's so much more of God. You and I must know that he touches and changes life. Oh, he loves to do it. Touches and changes life. And he touches and changes the course of history. Because the Bible says that he puts kings into position, but he also takes them out. This is a God that you and I serve. So Elijah is saying, he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives. And then he says, before whom I stand. Oh, guys, and this is so important, because if you want to be used by God, if you want to experience everything that God has for you and me, and like I said, this is about God. It is not about ourselves. Are you still here? Rick Warren, in his classical book, The Purpose-Driven Life, first chapter, first sentence says, it is not about you. The church for so long has preached the gospel of salvation, and the gospel of salvation is all about me. What God will do for me if I accept Jesus. What God will do for me if I ask Jesus to come into my life. You know what? And I will be happy, and you know what? And all that stuff. But you know what? Jesus never proclaimed the gospel of salvation. He only proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, which is a little bit different gospel. It's the gospel of the cross, where you lay down your life. It's the gospel where he is in charge and we follow him. And we become part of what he is doing. He is a living God. And Elijah says, before whom I stand, he says, I've got a living relationship with this God. I take time to press in with him. I take time to intimately come to know him. Because eternal life is not something that you and I am going to receive when we die. A pie in the sky when you die. No. When the Holy Spirit comes and works the born-again experience within you, when he regenerates you, he puts the very life of God in you and me, and that life is called eternal life. So guys, God is working in us, and he's got a plan for us. Elijah says, I stand before him. Prophets stand before God. They press in to experience his presence. Their lifestyle is to live in his presence. It is when you come close where you get your orders. And when you come close is where you are sent on an assignment. When I read the Bible, and Albert, you must help me. Mac, you guys must help me. But you know what? So many times when people have this revelation of God, when the heavens open up, when they experience something special from God, you know what? At the end of the day, what is the assignment? Go. When Moses in Exodus chapter 3, when God, you know, when God, when he had this experience with God at the burning bush, what did God tell him to do? Go. When God appeared to Isaiah in chapter 6 of his book, God said, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, I will. In Matthew 28, which I believe Mac is on the same par as Exodus chapter 3. You know what? They had this experience with the risen Jesus. And guess what he told them? Go. In Acts chapter 13, the leaders of the church in Antioch, they were together. They were praying. They were fasting. They were ministering unto God. All the leaders, prophets and teachers. And then the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And guess what did the Holy Spirit spoke to them? Guys, church is not coming here to sit here. Church is not programs. Church a people, church is an army that God wants to use. God wants to use people. God is working. Jesus say in John chapter 5, he says, my Father is working all the time. And I'm working with my Father. God is working. God is working, and he wants us to be part of what he is doing. So Elijah stands before Ahab, the king. And Elijah said to Ahab, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." His words speaks to the very heart of Baal worship. So what is Elijah doing? He's taking on Baal worship. Because Elijah, the moment when chapter 17 of 1 Kings happened, it was like religiously, in the spirit, it was a bad time for Israel. You know, things wasn't going. Everything was like spiritually dead. And maybe that's where God has put you. And maybe you have asked God, "God, can't you move me, please?" Okay, none of you. No one of you. Never did that. Heard so many times, you know, "Oh, it must be wonderful to work in a church office." No, God wants to use you where you are. Because ministry is not in a church office only. It's everywhere where God puts his children. You need as much grace to be a teacher than you need grace to be a minister. You need as much grace to be a mechanic, you know what, than to be a doctor. And God gives us the grace that we need. Don't matter where he has put you. There's only one prerequisite to receive his grace, and that is to be humble. Because God says, "I give grace to the humble." And humble means we tell him, "God, I need you. I need you to teach this 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90 children in this class. You know, God, I need your grace to be this receptionist. God, I need your grace to be this academic person. God, I need your grace to be this business person." We all need his grace. Because God put people in certain places. Are you still with me? Okay. Psalm 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and he doesn't stand in the way of the sinners, and he doesn't sit, you know, in Afrikaans say die kring van die spotters." And then he says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." His delight. And then he says, in Afrikaans, "En hy oordink sy wet dag en nag." Okay, the English says, "And he meditates on his law day and night." And then he says, "And he shall be like a tree planted at the river." Man, God plants you at the river. Which is that river? The river is the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7. He plants you. He plants you at a certain place. Okay. And he says, "And you will give your fruit in season. Your leaves will not wither." And he says, everything he does prosperous. God wants us to be salt. He wants us to be the light of this world. Now, God put Elijah. Elijah spoke to Ahab. Did I say that Ahab was like the pinnacle of wickedness? Okay, I haven't said that. In 1 Kings chapter 16, it says, "Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass as though it had been a trivial thing, as though it had been a small thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took Ahab, took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal." It wasn't allowed for kings or for the people of Israel to take wives from a foreign nation. But he took this girl, her name was Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And that was the heart of the Baal worship. And Ahab went and served Baal and worshipped him, and Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So this was a bad situation. Here's Elijah. God wants to use Elijah. No progress. No process. I can't hear you. No process. So God wants to use Elijah. Me and Mac were in the army. You were there. And you know what? Before you send someone out into battle, you want to make very sure that this person is prepared for the battle. So God won't put you in a place if you are not prepared to be there. And God won't let things happen in your lives if you are not prepared for that. Are you still with me? Because he's a covenant God. He's a loving God. Okay? So he will prepare you. When stuff happens, you can know, God, thank you that you have prepared me for this. Okay, so God, Elijah, Ahab was, you know what, like this wicked, wicked, wicked king. There was the sins of Jeroboam. If you go and make a study of it just shortly, you know, he put two golden calves in the northern kingdom because he was too afraid to send the people to go and worship at the temple in Jerusalem as God commanded them, because he thought if they go to Jerusalem, you know, they would come, you know, they would go back to the king that was in Jerusalem. So he made a very clever plan. You know what? Make his own kind of worship. You know, get his own priests. Get this golden calves. He said, you don't need to go there. As God commanded, you don't need to go there anymore. We do it our way. And then he married this girl he wasn't supposed to marry. And then he started to worship Baal. And now God sends Elijah to Ahab. Now, the Baal worship, Baal was like this fertility god. And Baal was like, you know, he was like, if you worship him, he would guarantee the crop. He would guarantee the harvest. He would guarantee that, you know, it would be fertile so that there would be a harvest. And when they go into the, you know, the temples of Baal, it was very profane, but there was like temple prostitutes and, you know, but, and everything that took place there. I don't want to speak about all that. You can make a study of that. And when Elijah said to Ahab, he said, there won't be dew, there won't be rain for the next few years except at my word. He was speaking to the very heart of Baal worship. He shuts the heaven. As the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, he was speaking from conviction. He was speaking from having an experience with God. The fourth principle that I just want to lift out here is that obedience opens up the well of God's word. Because the moment that Elijah was obedient to God, went out and spoke to the king, verse 2 says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, you see, God speaks to those who obey him. If you want to hear the voice of God, the key is obedience. When you don't hear the voice of God, just go back in your past and find out when was the last time God spoke and I did not obey. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it says, God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey. So God is raising up an army. One of the first things that you learn when you are in an army is you need to obey. You need to be in unity. You need to listen to what is being said. Because in a war situation, if you don't do it, it can cost you your life. So Elijah, he obeyed God's word. He moved with God. And you know what? He spoke God's word. And now God speaks to him. God gives him what he needs for the next time in his life. Okay. So it's so important. So many times God speaks to us, and sometimes he speaks to us things that we don't want to hear. But like we said, it's not about us, it is about him. When you obey him, you release his provision. Now, when God speaks to you, there is clarity in his voice. In verse 3, God said to him, "Get away from here and turn eastward. Hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." When God speaks to you, there's clarity in his voice. You know what? Elijah exactly knew where he was supposed to go. God said, "Get away from here. It is not safe here anymore." You know what? We as children of God, you know what? Sometimes we would obey God because there is some benefit in it for us. But God wants people, God wants children of God that would obey him because he is who he is. It's not about them, it's about who he is. So God spoke to Elijah, and he said, "Elijah, you've done what I told you. Now get away from here. Flee from here. Turn eastward. Hide by the brook which flows into the Jordan." This is God's GPS, you know. He gave them clear directions. He knew where he needed to go. You know what? When God speaks to us, there is no confusion in what he says. Sometimes, you know what, we as a church gives God such a bad name because we are so confused. Just the other day, you know, I had to speak to someone at the beginning of the year. God told him, "You know what, you must do Bible school." And so he started, you know, Bible school. And then he came to me and he said, you know, he hasn't time anymore for Bible school, and he can't go anymore Bible school because God is using him there, and God is using him in this thing, and God is using him there. And then I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, did God spoke to you in the beginning?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Now is God confused?" You see, we give God a bad name. Because we tell people, "This is what God spoke to me," and then we don't carry out or don't carry through with it. And then people think, you know what, but God said this to that guy and now he's doing that. Is God confused? No, he is not confused. We need to carry through with what God is speaking to us. So God told him, "Elijah, it's time for you to get away from here." And he had to flee for his life. You know what? Ahab put a price on his head. When you read the next chapter, verse 10, Albert, it says, you know what? Elijah sent people to every country. He said, "As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he's not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you." Ahab wanted to kill Elijah. There was a price on his head. But you know what? Where's the best place to hide? It's in his will. Under his protection. In his presence. It says in Psalm 34, hy sê, "Die Here trek 'n laar rondom die wat hom vrees en red hulle uit." Help me with the English. But you know what God says? If you fear him, he protects you. He says also in Psalm 34, he says, die wat die Here vrees, het gebrek aan niks nie. Those who fear God have everything they need. They lack nothing. God is raising up an army. God's using people, not only in church, everywhere. He took church into the world. And church is supposed to change the world. Number six, God opens up supernatural provision. In verse 4, and it will be that that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. You know what? Obeying is the door to obeying is the door to miracles. When you obey God, it will open up miracles for you. When you obey God, it will open up supernatural provision for you. When God tells you, go on missions, don't tell him, God, give me the money first and then I will go. When he says, go, go. He will provide. You know what? When God spoke to Elijah, he did not see all of this, but he needed to go first. God's man in God's place, doing God's work, in God's time and in God's way, will never lack God's support. My God, your source. Make God your source. Your salary is not your source. Your house is not your source. Your business is not your source. God is your source. And we need to make him our source. Know that he can supply whatever is needed. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Where the shepherd leads you, he provides everything that you and I need. Obedience brings the word of God into motion. Verse 5 of chapter 17, let me just read it. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flow into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Obedience brings the word of God into motion. You know what? He obeyed God. Ravens don't share their food. It's like God said, go, I've commanded this person to provide for you. God, do you know that person? God says, I have commanded the ravens. It's all about trust, because obedience and trust is like the same thing. You know what? When you trust him, you obey. When you believe him, you obey. Say, God, you're going to do this. I don't see it. It's not here. The ravens never before in history has brought anyone food. But I choose to obey you, God. I choose to go with you. I've written down here, obedience to God is far more precious than sacrifice. I want to finish off. The last scripture, verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Because of his prophecy, the brook dried up. Because of his obedience, the brook dried up. So he was sitting here, you know what? The ravens brought him bread and meat, he had water, so he could make like a stew, you know, like a steak stew, you know, I don't know what kind of meat they brought him. But there was bread, meat, water, you can do something with it. But then he saw the water was getting less and less. And guess what we do when we see something is getting less and less? We start to worry. We panic. We stress. And you know what we do when we panic and we stress? We make our own plans. Or we run away. Or we act in fear. And you know what? It is in the famine that you and I need to trust God. Say, God, you have put me here. God, you spoke to me. It's your heart, God. And I trust you to speak to me. I trust you, God, to reveal to me what your plan is. And you know what? Because he didn't panic, because he dealt with his fear, and we need to talk about fear another time. But you know what? He handled his fear. He trusted God. And then God spoke to him again. And God said, go to Zarephath. I've ordered a widow there to prepare for, to provide for you. So guys, it is so important that we move with God. It is all about God. God is raising up an army. God is raising up a church that he can use. You know what? Church is where heaven and earth meet, where we can experience who God is, but on the other side, where we are available for the God of heaven. Let's just pray together. Can we stand? Yes, thank you, God. Yeah, just as we stand, let's just start to communicate with God. God to speak. He has spoken to us this morning. He has spoken to you. By his Spirit, God spoke to us, those that are part of the streaming family. I know that God has spoken to you. I would like you all to stand up as well and just start to communicate with God. Just get in contact with God, because I know that God, by his Spirit, has put something in your heart this morning, and you need to communicate with him about that. You need to talk to him about that. Says, God, this is where I am, God. And God, I want you to touch me. Maybe some of us need to repent this morning. Say, God, you know, so many times you spoke to me, but God, I have been unfaithful. And I did not obey you, God, because there was fear in my heart. And we can just repent to him. Say, God, please, God, forgive me. Forgive me that I didn't obey you because there was fear. I didn't experience your love, God. I didn't experience that you will provide for me. Even if there is nothing in it for me, I didn't trust you, God. And just cleanse your heart before him. Maybe you just experienced him as an idea, as a philosophy. Just repent before him this morning. Say, God, I know that you are a living being. I know that you are alive, God. Maybe you've spent much too less time with him. You haven't spent enough time with him. You don't really know him. Say, God, if I were that person in the Bible, if I were that Elijah, it's like, it wouldn't happen because I'm too afraid, God. There's too less of your presence in my life. There's not enough of you in my life, God. Oh, God. Father God, thank you that you just touch us as your people this morning, because we want to be what you want us to be, God. We want to be salt. We want to be light, God. And thank you, God. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you just work in us, God. You just work in us. Oh, God. We just worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the way. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you showed us It's all about God. It's all about you, God. We just thank you, God. Oh, we just worship you, God. Oh, we just worship you. Just thank you, God. Thank you that you're a father of love. Thank you that your hand was on Jesus all the way. All the way. When he hanged on the cross, he was there with him. Except for that 3 hours when he had to bear the judgment, your judgment of our sin. But you were there all the time. And you raised him up from the dead. You gave him a name that is above every other name. So that every knee will have to bow. Every tongue needs to confess that Jesus is Lord. We just thank you, God. We just thank you, God. Father God, thank you that you use people. You put them in strategic places, God. We just thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Shabbayon Tehed. Oh, donkey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Shabbayon Tehed. Your word says, God, there's no fear in love. Because love drives out fear. Oh, we just worship you, God. Give us a new love for you. Give us a new revelation of your love for us, God. That you won't drop us. You won't forsake us. You won't put us in a situation and then just draw back and laugh at us. It's not your character. Oh, thank you. Thank you that you are a covenant God. Thank you that you are with us every step of the way. Oh, thank you that when we step out in faith, when we step out in obedience, you are pleased by it, God. Nothing pleases you more than faith. Just worship you, God. Just worship you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you are doing, God. I so sense in my spirit this morning that God wants us to pray for people. You're standing there and you're saying, God, I want to obey you. I want to step out, God. But God, to be honest, I'm afraid of the consequences. What will happen when I obey you? What will happen to me? What will happen to my family? You're thinking so much stuff this morning. But there's this hunger in your heart to step out and to be part of what he's doing. And I want to pray with you this morning. I believe God wants to come through for you. If it is you, just slip up your hand to him. Say, God, I want you to come and touch me, God. I want you to put a new love in my heart for you, knowing that you won't drop me, God. God, I just need you to touch me, God. Is there anyone that says, God, please touch me? Just put up your hand to him, because I believe God wanna touch you. It's people that want to step out for God. It's people that want to go forward for God. Thank you. I see those hands. I see those hands. Is there other people that want to be part of this prayer? Say, God, I want you to work in my life. I'm gonna ask you to be bold, and if you've put up your hand, won't you please come to the front, because we want to pray with you, trusting God to give you that breakthrough, trusting God to work a miracle in your life. And if you are still standing there and you know that God's Spirit is upon you, God is working in your life, just come forward. Just come and stand with me. Let me just pray with you, because I know it's your time. I know God wants to release you in a mighty way. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your boldness to step out. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just worship you, God. Just worship you, God. If you need to be here, take that step. You won't regret it. God blesses obedience. God blesses obedience like He blesses humility. Oh, you want to go forward in your relationship with Him? Obedience, humility, faith. God blesses that stuff. Thank you, God. And those of you that are in the streaming campuses, if you need God to touch you, if you need someone to pray with you, just take that bold step in faith and just step forward. Go and stand in the front so that the others could pray with you. Can the leaders just come and stand with these people? I want to honor your obedience this morning. I want to honor you stepping out for God. Because God doesn't use perfect people. He uses people that's available for Him. He uses people that say, God, here I am. I want to go with you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Can I ask some of the cell leaders to come to the front, please? Come pray with us. You know you are. Come, please. I just felt, while Gerard was ministering, that I'd like us to do a declaration of obedience. Who'd like to do a declaration of obedience with me this morning? We commit to obedience. All right, I'd like you to pray the following prayer after me. Close your eyes, please. Say it loud, like you mean it. Father God, I come to you this morning, just as I am. Father, you know my weaknesses. You know my failings. I need you to be obedient. I choose this morning to submit my will to your will, my God, my King. But Lord, this morning, I ask that you enable me to be obedient, and I choose to be obedient, no matter what the cost. Help me to bear the cost. Help me to be willing to make the sacrifice. In your most beautiful name, Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Redeemer, my God, the person to whom I bow my knee. I bow before you, Jesus. I worship you. You are my Lord. I will be obedient in your name. Jesus Christ. Amen. You're free to stay and remain and pray for the folks being prayed for in front, or you're free to go have a lacquer, coffee and tea. Don't forget this morning's message. live it and practice it, you will be tested in it this week. God will test this message in your life. Take note of that. God bless you. We see you tonight, 6 o'clock.